Good afternoon. Happy New Year to you. Thanks for coming in. Some people are on YouTube. Even my wife has got some duties to do. Anyone on YouTube? I think some people. I think Jun Yen or my friend, a couple of people. Come, let's pray before the Lord today. Father, thank you for a new year, 2023. Lord, we commit all we have to you. Our thoughts, our desires, our plans. But Lord, we even today, as we talk about human and God plans, we pray that your plans will prevail. That Lord, even in our hearts, meandering as they may, we want to plan things in our hearts, Lord, we ask that the word of God come to you, determine our steps, so that what we do, what we think, what we hope to achieve will be done according to the will and according to what you have us do. So Father, we thank you. We pray, O God, that Lord, your whatever we do, it will be found acceptable sacrifice to you. We commit all we have to you, commit the people to you, bless them as we come before you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. It's always good to be here physically. I mean, I just unannounced talk to Silas. Sometimes it's just when you know someone so well, right? But you just cut through the thing and you speak to Silas, and in that 2 minutes, we probably covered a lot of things that we've been thinking about in the last 3 months. Was just coming together and just talking about things and say, hey, what do you think of this? And then down he tells me, yeah, I also think the same and blah, blah, blah. So I want to just tell you that there's a need to always be in the community. If not, iron doesn't sharpen iron. It's one block of wood rubbing against another block of wood. Is that who I think it is? Melissa, right? Good to see you. Come forward. Hey, 坐, 前面. Come. Good to see you. Wonderful. So as we come before the Lord, as we come amongst the people of God, when we have a chance to talk, and we cut through the fluff and we just come and let's see if I've got something to share. Owen, what do you think of this? We don't need to, how's the weather? How's your grandmother? How's your bird? How's Liverpool? Bah, go straight to the point. Nothing wrong with pleasantries, but as we engage, I think there's something to be said about that. So I'm just very excited. The leadership needs to meet, and on Friday, there's some people meeting as well. I think there's some things on the mind of both Silas and I, and let's really talk on Friday as we come. This year, we wanted to start by just talking about a few things, but what we talk about, favor doesn't change. Just talking to Leon. Leon has started a new job. First week of January started, and then goes into the hospital in whatever position, and then he meets the boss of the boss, and then the boss of the boss look at him, and he look at him and say, I know you, you know me. So finds out that the boss of the boss is from the same batchmate or diploma course when they did on nursing about a zillion years ago. Isn't that favor that whoever your boss or boss is someone that, and then this is the boss or the boss whom I don't think needs to went around to show him around the place in the hospital and so forth. I think that's favor for us. I mean, even as we come before the Lord, what the job we do, the boss or the boss that we have, the things that as we come before the Lord, may the Lord's will be done even as we pray the Lord's prayer in the end of 2022. But in 2023, I thought a good starting point, and I've been thinking about it. I asked God give us a theme, and I won't say we stumbled. We came across Micah 6:8, which we will talk about in the whole context of the things I will talk about. Micah 6:8 is something that a lot of us know well. Micah 6:8, depending on your version of the Bible, says, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? He requires a few things. Number one, Sharon Owen, act justly. Number two, love mercy. Number three, walk humbly with your God. Rather than just dive in into the theme verse today, I thought it's always good to give a context and build up to the climax. Why don't we take this opportunity to do the whole book of Micah? But I think Micah 6:8 is the theme verse for 2023, which I want to leave as a thought, even as we begin the study and or the discussion on the book of Micah. Why are we different from this church? Silas and I talked, and we know the kind of people we attract. We will be able to, I think, be very clear in that whatever we talk, there's always that practical application that we want. And that doesn't change. I had a chance to meet an F&B group head who also is a brother in Christ. Next time, I should bring you Silas Winnie. Very nice place, and he go into this place, and I'll tell you once later from another church, and we talked, and bought my legal team dinner on Thursday night, and then we talked. And I didn't ask for it. I said, God, so what do you mean to meet him for? You know, he called for a meeting. I said, okay, let's meet. And I'm really his legal consultant. That's very clear already. Whatever legal stuff, whatever, he comes to me. And I saw the word spiritual consultant. I said, God, you want me to tell him that, spiritual consultant? I said, yeah. So I went to him and then we started talking and then I said, I don't know why I'm here to meet you, but I said what I thought the Lord was telling me. Then he said, it's interesting because at the same time, he felt that he wanted to tell me and he doesn't have to, my friend. I am the service provider. In fact, I need to look at him to make sure that he gives you work so I can bill, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like the wealth management guy and then the relationship manager. I'm the relationship manager, you know. He's the client. But he tells me that, Daniel, I feel that when you pray for me, it will be effective prayer. When you pray for me or when you, whatever you pray for me, it will be effective. He's a high flyer, won't give you the name. He's someone who is an establishment doing very well, F&B scene. He don't need to sarcasm even, no need to say such things. But he said what he said, and I thought that was wow. But I want to tell you that that is what we want to do in the marketplace. Do you want to be someone that, Leon, do you want to be someone that when you go to your hospital where you work or where have you, or when any teacher in your school finds that there's something, they will come to you and seek your prayer and or just want to have a word with you. Are there people in your life that you say, whenever there's something, you know, you say, I want to have a word with someone on this. Doesn't have to be a two-hour call, but just 5 minutes and maybe it could be Daniel, it could be Silas. But are we the sort of person that people want to gravitate to come to you, to consult and to ask for prayers? And I thought that's something that I want to say. And I say this mindful that I want to, in this year, act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. To act justly is very easy. Real Singaporean, act justly means, Tiffany, you follow rule by this. Nowadays, when you ride bike, only five people ride bike together. Do you know that the rules have changed? You're not supposed to ride more than five people, no. If you're six people, you're illegal already. It's legal. To act justly, actually not very difficult. Follow the rules, right? To love mercy, to be kind, a bit harder, but may not be also very difficult. But if you can do the act justly and love mercy, the problem is, the most difficult one I submit to you, is to then walk humbly with your God. If you are able to administer justice and to love mercy, you feel like you're the person administering justice or be very kind. You know what will happen? Sometimes pride may come in. Can you walk, act justly, walk, act justly, love mercy, and then the third ingredient, to walk humbly for God. I ask ourselves, we check ourselves each time, are we in a position to walk humbly for God? To walk with Him, not run away, not run ahead of God, but to walk humbly with Him. I always talk to people, you know, I think I talk about this walking. Enoch was the one who walked with God. Remember Enoch, the thing you know about this Enoch character, he walked humbly. God. When you walk with someone, you walk with someone. Phyllis, if I say, can you take a walk with me? Let's say I'm your boss. Phyllis, there's something on my mind. Can you take a walk with me? Half the time I do it. You say no, right? My goodness. There's some people who no choice. I'll say, walk. Can you walk with me? Because I'm rushing to my next appointment, but you follow me to the lift and then let's go down. And then you don't mind, after I reach my car park, you can go back. But let's talk in that too. I only got 3 minutes. Walk with me. When you walk with someone, you walk the person, you don't go ahead of the person. You say, walk me, can. Felice say, walk me, can. I take this lift, you take another lift. Then how to talk? Of course, you walk with someone, you're walking what? Side by side. You're not too much ahead, you're not too far behind, right? If I say, walk with me, doesn't mean run with me. You run with me, either I'm too fast or you're too slow. When you walk with someone, you walk in tandem. You walk in tandem so that I hear you, you hear me, and then we talk. If your general tells you, I want to talk to you and walk in tandem, you don't go ahead of him or you walk behind the fella, talk, you can't listen, or he talk, you cannot listen, that's no good. But when you walk with God, it's the same thing, isn't it? You walk with God, you walk humbly with him, you're probably one or two steps just behind him, you're walking with God. You're not running ahead of him, you're not too far behind him, you're walking so that what he says, you hear and you listen and you execute and you obey. Isn't that walking with God? And then when you walk humbly, because when the general talks, you listen. That's very practical, isn't it? No one told me this, but those are the thoughts I think about when you talk about walking with someone. Micah book 1, I want to start, and I thought that we should entitle this series of Micah, he's a God of abundant hope. Not just hope, but abundant hope. When you have God, you're someone that you want to listen to, is someone that gives you hope. If we wanted to just talk about things that are nice and whatever, you know what we should have done? We should never have spoken on the book of Micah. Because talk about Micah, if you read the word of God, it's warnings, it's calamities, everything is very difficult. If you want to preach a gospel that is a bit more palatable, you know what you should do, Shireen? Never talk about Micah. How to change the word of God, and later we'll look at it. He will make Samaria a heap of rubble, a place for vineyards. I'll pour her stones in the valley, lay bare foundations, all her vitals. I will destroy all her images, blah, blah, blah. not very easy to talk about, isn't it? Why would you have to bother to read the Word of God and tell people about these kind of things? And you can't change the Word of God, can you? You cannot, neither can you add or subtract, but that's the Word of God. I suggest to us that we take the Word of God and we speak or preach or teach or talk about the Word of God regardless of whether it's things you want to hear. Isn't that the Word of God? Some things you don't want to hear, right, Shireen? A lot of things actually I don't want to hear, no? But my wife tells me anyway. Today my wife's not here, I better say. A lot of things she tells me I don't feel like hearing, but I'm going to hear it anyway. And when I hear already, what happens? When you walk with your God, Cindy stops smiling. When you hear already, what do? Execute. That's even worse. If we need to tell Silas everything, we need to say in Bangkok, you know, let's go to this restaurant. Silas will say whatever then, but we need to say already, bo bian. Have to go, right? You still execute. So my point to you is sometimes we need to understand that when we go before the Lord, the Word of God, there are so many words. Actually, we shouldn't talk about Micah. Talk already next week, someone may not come back. But that's the Word of God anyway, right? But if you're a true believer in God, you're a disciple of Christ, you listen to what the Word of God says. We take it for what it is. So with that, I want to launch into the book of Micah, and I want to just go into some context so that we can take it from here. Go to slide one. Thank you, Leon. Book of Micah, slide one. This is set in the time of about 700 BC. If you look at chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Micah. He was operating as a prophet during the reigns of three kings, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Take it from me, right about 700 BC. Around that time, he was there. He was a contemporary to Isaiah. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, some of the things that he says, it is also the things that Micah says. But the point is, can I just cut to the chase? Micah is HDB heartlander. Live in those towns. Shireen smiling, right? HDB heartlander, whereas Isaiah live in GCP bungalow. You understand? Isaiah comes from royalty. Micah is poor cousin folk. Take it from me. 700 BC, the one that has got the rich background is Isaiah. The one Micah is people like me. The one that's like Isaiah is people like Weenie. You get the drift? You look at the two of us, you can tell. The kind of background. So it is in this context, you know that Micah is the man on the ground. He's the one that aligns with the lower folks, so to speak. But Isaiah will connect and he's of a certain heritage and a royalty. But isn't that what is good? So that different kinds of people listen to different prophets. Can you imagine if all the prophets are of a certain kind, then you can't reach certain people. Isn't it? We need people like Isaiah so that Silas can go and speak to another country manager bank. But you tell Silas to go and speak to someone, maybe he cannot. We need Owen to go and speak to a fellow teacher. I can't speak to the teacher. But maybe there's a lawyer who's junior who needs a help, mentoring, whatever. We can go. Childcare teacher, we say what? Send Cindy. Phyllis, don't want to talk to anyone, but talk to this one. Phyllis will go. But that's what it is. Start up, go to gun. So different people have different areas of influence. Micah lived in this place called Sephila, a poor region. Isaiah came from upper class, wealthy background, but Micah was a simple countryman. What was his heart? His heart was for the ordinary people who were being exploited. By reason of his background, Isaiah was not so conscious of this, so they complement each other very well. You understand? Which is why you see Micah 6:8, right? It talks about what? Justice, isn't it? It's all about social justice. Why? Because Micah is a heartlander. He's the one who will go down to the ground and he feels the ground. Okay, so that's the context I want to tell you about. And Micah and Zahidah were speaking to the two tribes in the south. So two tribes in the south, Judah and Jerusalem. And then Hosea, another prophet, was the prophet to the north. So that's the context of the people he operated at about 700 BC time. So these are the three kings that they serve. Next slide, please. And looking at these people, you want to understand that these are prophets. What's the difference between prophecy and premonition? If I tell Silas and Winnie, hey, Silas and Winnie, I feel that after I leave today, once I get out, I will meet this guy. I have a sensing I'll meet this guy. That's a premonition. You're not sure what happened. Or premonition of disaster. I'll tell Gan, I'm very scared. Tomorrow when I play football, Choi Gali Taika, you see. But I play football tomorrow, I will kena like your leg like that. I have a premonition of disaster. Whereas if a prophecy, I'm saying to you, Silas and Winnie, tomorrow you will be blank. Someone will come to you and at 3 o'clock, this person will come to you, you will meet this guy. So is Micah a prophet or is he someone just predicting? I suggest to you that Micah is a prophet. and he's a true prophet. I give you just one example. I don't want to steal the thunder of silence. We'll talk about it. In Micah 5:2. In Micah 5:2, it says here, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Hey, Bethlehem got a lot of Bethlehems. This guy is so sharp. He says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you're small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Who came from Bethlehem? Jesus. And when did Micah exist? 700 BC. So he is telling you about what? Something that will come 700 years later. It's not like Malcolm telling me Liverpool will win the Premier League at the end of this year. Number one, it's not going to happen. Number two, that's all bullshit. He is telling you that in 700 years' time, who will appear and from which? I mean, if I want to really take my chances at Joey, you know what I should do? If I were even a prophet, I'm not sure whether it's Bethlehem, I'll just say in 700 years, this man will come, he's the Son of God. He doesn't. He tells you, Son of God, Bethlehem. Not even, there are many Bethlehem. Bethlehem, this one. It's like telling you, from this place, Ang Mo Kio, not even Ang Mo Kio, Shireen, Ang Mo Kio, Street 51. That's a prophet. Someone who tells you, and we all having the, not the hindsight, the benefit of 700 and more, 2,000 years later, is that true? Answer is the truth. He also, in another one, talks about Bethlehem that will come and really take over the Jews, so to speak, and that you can also find in Micah chapter 4, for example, verse 10. Micah 4, verse 10, "Rift in agony, daughter Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you must leave the city to camp in the open field. You will go to Babylon." At that time, 700 years before, Babylon is nothing, you know. He can tell you, 700, you will go to Bethlehem, and there you will be rescued. Not only tell you where, but there what happens to you, you'll be rescued. Not only tell you Bethlehem, but tell you Bethlehem 7 years later, from there will come the Lord himself. My friend, that's a prophet. If he can be so accurate about this, I will take his word for the rest. The rest of the things, Melissa, we have not seen yet, but we will see, not in our lifetime maybe, but in the days to come. Because he's prophesying. You don't want to listen to someone who, from what you can see, is already not accurate, correct? But what you see that has been accurate, has come to pass and is born fruit and is true, correct, 100%, you want to believe, for me, good enough, I believe that whatever else he says will come true. For example, in chapter 4, again, Silas will talk about it. In the last days, it says, Micah 4:1, and then I will stop there because Silas will talk about it. I would like to think and I know it will happen. That is a prophet. Is that okay? Don't you want to have prophets? A lot of people pay a lot of money, no? If you go and check, you want to know your destiny, go and read your palm or your whatever, your left side of the face or whatever, what do? You pay. You go. Some people come to me and then say, can you tell me what's going to happen? What are the chances? You know, another typical lawyer come to me, Cindy will tell me, come to me, what are the chances of winning? I'm sick and tired of people asking me that. But no choice, I have to still give a prediction, right? I think your chance is about 30%. 40%, but we try as best we can. But I'm not a prophet, I cannot tell you. I can tell you to the best of my ability, you know, whatever. And half the time, you know what? Can I tell you a secret? Half the time, I'm inaccurate. I say sure, lose one, I actually win. Those are, I think this one, very good chance. We lose. That's why we tell people like Silas, hey, you can't try to settle, because when you go in, it's like a gamble. I cannot guarantee you. But if you want to take your chances, don't say I never say. These are your strength witnesses. You understand? Prophet, different. Lawyers are not prophets. This is a prophet. So in that context, he's a prophet. What kind of prophet is he? We call it the minor prophet. Can I just say this once and for all? When I was young, I don't know about you guys, when you say someone minor means what? Angelo, here, pick someone else. Shireen, minor means what? Minor means minor. Small, minor means what? Major. Minor means minor. But what is minor? What does minor mean to you, Donna? Don, if I say, Don, this is a minor character, what do you think? Inconsequential, insignificant, no need to listen too hard. But I say to you, a minor prophet is minor only because the book is short. You understand? No, minor doesn't mean that, hey, no need to listen to him. He's a minor bird or minor character or not major key, he's a minor key. No, minor prophet here just means that his book is shorter. Does that mean that what he says is not true? No. He is the one of all the people who foretold that 700 years later, who's going to come? Jesus, where? Bethlehem. Can't even pronounce the word. Ephrathah. Ephrathah. That's a minor prophet. He's someone that will speak the word of God. He's someone that will come true in terms of what he said. So nothing minor about what he said. I suggest to you, when you read the minor prophets, there are 12 of them, today got no time. All 12 of them, they got something important to say. It's just that the book is shorter. Sometimes people sometimes know you talk so much. Have you not noticed that, I don't know, next time when you get older, right? When you go higher and higher up, right? The more influential you are, actually, sometimes we don't want to talk so much. Just one sentence, kao liao. Because talk so much, and then got more questions. One sentence part, one sentence here, one sentence that. So when I give a legal consult, my guys will all say this. I tell them, you look at this, you say this. Then I'll conclude. I say, Silas, I think we have a case. Let's go. But don't say I never tell you. This judge is like that one. He may not be too sympathetic to what you are trying to tell the court. But if you think you want to give it a shot, let's go. I will conclude. So I want to say a minor prophet is someone that you can listen to. Next slide, please. He is someone that, 100% strike, like I said, he is someone that you can listen to. Okay, that's a minor prophet. And I want to just bring up this thing. He is someone who prophesied and who sort of served the Lord during the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. One thing, Jotham is a good king. Number two, King Ahaz is bad king. Number three, King Hezekiah is a very good king. Two ticks, almost like a fridge. You buy fridges? They're very practical when people come. When I talk about fridge, you know. You want battery, not battery. You want less energy, how many ticks? Winnie won't know. Winnie only use the fridge. Silas know, right? You know not, don't bluff. Don't know, right? I see, don't know. Owen know not. Three ticks means what? Energy efficient. One tick means? Energy inefficient. Zero tick means? It's not a fridge. You understand? So three ticks is, whenever you buy, where do you go? You go to all those supermarkets. Hey, Don, your fridge, how many ticks? Don don't know. See, your fridge, if got three ticks, means efficient. Two ticks, not so. Number one, already warning sign. Your electricity bill goes up. You know why? Because of the fridge. These were the kings that were during the reigns of which Micah was working. When I look at it, I said, God, a thought. Next slide, please. What makes you very good? Good or bad? Today, I have no time. But maybe Tawei, tell me next time when I see you. It's like pressure, but please come again. Cindy, no need to look at your brother-in-law. Why is it a king is seen to be a good king, then the king is a bad king, and Hezekiah a very good king? Why? And if I'm not wrong, I said before Hezekiah, isn't Hezekiah the guy who asked for X number of years for his life to be prolonged? That's the guy, right? And after he got the 15 years, I think I spoke about it a few months ago. Even then, when he get the 15 years, did he use his 15 years wisely? No. He went to show off and show the enemy the treasures, and then he got whacked. Correct? But nonetheless, he's still a very good king. Very good king doesn't mean he's perfect. Think about it for ourselves. When someone looks at Brian or looks at Melissa or looks at Royston, I hope Royston, in the commander in the army, people say, that one, good man. Do we not talk about, after a while, we always tell people, just to say, gee, Daniel's a good man. I think you said about me before. I never tell you that I heard people say that you say I'm a good man. Daniel, good man. That's why when he do this kind of thing, I will follow him. It's true, right? You follow an evil king. Not a king, but do you follow an evil man? Brian, actually, I'm very evil. I'm two crosses. You still want to come to church? You want to go for someone who's got five ticks, man? Super energy efficient and supernatural productive. So what makes us the king? Or that person, that teacher, that commander, that marketplace person, what makes you what people think you are? I always tell people, the law firm I operate, I don't dare. I don't say that we are a Christian firm. But if you go out there and you ask anybody, hey, Sharon, is there a Christian firm in Singapore? I can almost guarantee you, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10, the firm's name, my first name is mentioned, but I never say anything. What's my point? The point is, it is not what you label yourself, isn't it? Did the kings last time say, Jotham say, I am a very good king, I'm a kick-ass king? No, they said nothing. It is historic. You are judged historically by what you did or did not do. So I'll leave this as a thought even as we go further down the line. Right? This is one, a bonus point, free of charge. Next slide. Minor prophets, nothing minor about his messages and prophecies. I already jumped to that point. Next slide, please. Why did God raise up Micah? Why? Why would God raise up prophets? What is the role of a prophet? And if you have prophetic gifts, and maybe, do you know that God gives us different gifts? Correct? What are gifts? Mine is what? Cindy, talk about football? Evangelism, right? Maybe, or whatever you think I have. Some have a gift of healing, but some people have a gift of prophecy, right? Your job, if you have a gift of prophecy, please use it. Huh? I mean, don't not use the gift that God has given. If you don't do what God has asked you to do, we got problems. Then the body of Christ cannot function. You understand? If you have a gift, Owen, your gift would be to teach, but that's secular. But what is your gift insofar as the world body is Christ? Sharon, you are a dentist. Very good. That's a gift of dentistry. But what is your gift also vis-a-vis the church? What are you good at? What are you supposed... Maybe someone has a gift of administration. That's a gift, isn't it? The gift of administration, the ability to administrate. Actually, I can also be an administrator. But it's very difficult for me. It's like sitting down, whatever. I can do it, but it's damn painful for me. After doing it, I mean, I have six more white hair. Every time I do, by the time I'll be all wear high. But some people are just gifted in something. You follow? Whereas you tell some people to come here, you tell, for example, a lady to come and speak, they say, cannot lah. I'm very scared of public speaking. So when people say that, I say, very hard, man, public speaking. They say, but that's you lah. But that's because we are all different. We are gifted all differently. Are you okay with that? So what is the point if God gives you the gift and also to Micah? And think about it. If a gift prophecy, why are you gifted to do something? And I suggest to you there are three eyes. We call it the three idiots. Number one, you have to warn people of idolatry, isn't it? Does that give you a hint of whether a king is good, bad, or not so good, or so bad, or whatever? What is it that they do, or they allow, or they don't stop? You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes your problem is Dawn, not Dawn, but example. Sometimes the problem when you're good, bad, or whatever is not that you did something. Can I suggest you something? Sometimes you're good, bad, or not so good, or not so bad, two tick, three tick, whatever, is because when you know something, you didn't stop it. Is that okay? Don't tell me that I didn't do something. Phyllis, not good enough. In the eyes of God, you didn't do something, but you allowed something to be done. Make sense? Why would a king, I mean, when you say there's idolatry or there's this kind of pose and they worship Baal or whoever they call it, did the king himself worship Baal? Maybe some of them, but some of them didn't. But if they didn't, what did they do or didn't do? They allowed it. Are you following me? They condone it, they allow it. Well, that's leadership for using it. Can you imagine if Silas, for example, in the bank, in this bank, you're not supposed to, example, a ridiculous example, you're not supposed to eat beef. Okay? This bank, no one's supposed to eat beef. The top fella from there say, no beef. Silas himself doesn't eat the beef, you know. But then he sees that every Thursday, Friday, all those middle men all eating beef at one corner, and then the wagyu steak on the fry, and the beef smell all the place. But he didn't stop it. Did he eat the beef? He didn't. But did he know that people eating a beef in violation of what the bank stands for? He did nothing. Is that okay? So when there's idolatry, ask yourself, or when we're doing something, it's a very practical effect, right? When people judge you, sometimes it's not just a matter of you doing something or not doing something. It is you not stopping something, you not advocating for something, you not doing something about something. Is that okay? Sometimes the sin, we always talk about it, right? The sin of what? Commission? Doing something or omission. Omission means what? Never do. Take away the C, makes a lot of difference. Commission, omission. Commission means do something. Omit, forgot. Either of which is not good. Can you imagine if Leon and Malcolm sitting back today, do they omit to put something on, the cable and omit to put in, also finish. Kapoof. Correct? So it is either commission or omission. Number one, idolatry. Idolatry insults God, and that's putting it mildly. All the eyes will leave for you. Got it? When you have idolatry, the problem is, idolatry is an insult. It's an abomination to God. Number two, immorality. All the prostitutes, all the people going to the temple, remember that Jesus came and then overthrew everything. What do? you do things that are displeasing to God, isn't it? Immorality, there are moral issues. So what is moral issues? The people were indulging amongst themselves. So if, for example, if there was people sleeping around and everybody just happy to sleep around. Nowadays, what's the latest? If you want to, you can share husbands and wives. Is it? What's it called? There's a term for it. Amorous, I don't know what it is. Think about it. Nowadays, like, some people say, I want to, read some articles, call it swinging, whatever, so we can share wives and husbands. Shake it, right? But may God check our hearts, because if we don't watch it, we can also be deceived. So, warn against immorality. What is immorality? Another eye, you indulge, you overindulge. It is okay to indulge in chocolate once in a while, right? I mean, I eat chocolate, I'm a sweet. I don't know about you, I'm like you know, very full. Royce tell me, I want to eat some more, very full. Or cannot eat no more the tomahawk, or no more beef, whatever. But I got a bit of tau suan. Let's say can. It's as if there's a stomach in there, but there are two compartments. The stomach for all the things, everything else finished. But once you talk about chocolate, that stomach can open. It's like people say, very busy, busy. Gun, I'm very busy, busy. Cannot, like, no time, no time. Tomorrow golf, I can. Tomorrow golf, can. I can't pick you at 6 a.m. Let's go to Austin Hill. Are you with me? What are you doing, friend? Are you overindulging? It's like telling Royston, very tired. No time. Tomorrow can go and jog my retreat. Can. I pick you at 4:30. Very dark, never mind. We wear the minus torch light and then we'll show a sign above to you and then we run. Is it overindulgence? You think about it. So the problem is idolatry number two, what? Immorality. I don't need to tell you, a prophet, to be telling that even as we watch ourselves, these are things we need to watch. Are we idol worshipping? And we idol worship, guys, very clear, right? You can be worshipping not God, you can be worshipping money. Or the lack of. Idolatry, immorality. Number three, injustice. Injustice is the one that I think Michael has a bit of a problem with. Idolatry is when people insult God and worship something else. Immorality is when people indulge themselves. One more time. Idolatry is when people insult God and worship something else. Number two, immorality is when people indulge themselves, right? Immorality. Number three, but injustice, a bit different. What is injustice? It's when people injure each other. And this was the biggest burden for Micah. Injustice is different. That means we all, when immorality means what? Phyllis, you decide to do something, but it doesn't hurt me, correct? You just decide to, not supposed to buy so many LV bags, you buy 5 and then buy 6, and then Tawi, no money, still buy the 7, 8 one, and not enough, then borrow from Cindy to buy some more. But that is your own problem, right? Think about it. But injustice means what? Injustice means I do something, it will hurt someone else. Are you following me? Injustice is the major bugbear, and injustice would set the theme. So when we talk about Micah, as you go to Micah, I want to suggest to you, injustice is his biggest bugbear. That's his problem. He felt, and he being of the heartlander kind of person, injustice is a big thing for him because it hurts other people. And most of the time, injustice is what? The rich to the poor, the powerful to the oppressed, the corrupt to the people who are innocent, isn't it? It's always like that, injustice. All the economies, and maybe the bankers will tell me, you struggle with all this Gini coefficient, the rich and the poor, the divide. Even the government is now talking about how maybe we should try to, if possible, right, the income of a graduate and the income of a plumber or IT, can we try to reduce the gap? Give more premium to people who use their hands. The hands and the heart and the head. How do we make things a bit more? What? Just. Are you with me? So that's something that I want to suggest to you, even if you give the context, and then Gunn will come and speak next week on Micah as well. Next. What grips Micah's heart spirit most? I've answered. Was it? Not that the rest didn't. Was it idolatry? Was it immorality, or was it injustice? As one of the people himself, Micah's heart went out to the widows and orphans who were on the street because they couldn't pay the rent. There's a strong cry for social justice throughout his prophecy. Always looking out for the underprivileged, the unaccounted, the people who were underwhelmed in their life. Is that something that we do also in Singapore? Which is why I'm very glad, and I'm glad that Silas and Gunn also supported that we go and do all these food distributions. So we, and actually it's a good thing, guys. Phyllis and Tawei, I hope that when we do these things, when our children get to see this kind of thing that they don't see, it changes things. And some of us so old, so never seen it before, right? Have you seen a one-room flat before? And actually, those are the clean ones. Have you seen unclean flats? I've seen. Don't need to see them. You don't need to see them. From far away, you can smell them. You understand? Now, the ones we saw already, well, when I went there first time, I said, well, it's not quite clean. What grips Michael's heart, spirit, the things that I just talked about? Next slide. Michael 2. But before I go to Michael 2, Michael 1, I didn't know that I would talk about this, but I remember preparing for this. I saw the word. I read and thought about Pompeii. You know Pompeii? Pompeii was this a city in or town over in southern Italy sometime in AD 70. Some volcano came and the whole place was wiped out. Not wiped out, wiped out. The city was frozen in time. And it has been buried and it went down by 10 meters. When we say about it being buried in time, kid you not, it is really buried in time. So that I remember, I don't know, some of you were there. Did you attend a Pompeii exhibition in Singapore? I did. I saw that figurine of a dog. When the thing came, it's like the dog was frozen in time. You understand? You also hear stories of they were really frozen in time in Pompeii. What happened was what? When the oven, the bread, they were baking it, right? When the thing came frozen, so when you go to the archaeological site of Pompeii, the bread is there as it was at that time, frozen, supposed to have been baked. That was Pompeii. Eruption in Mount Vesuvius, eruption in 79, is one of the best known in history. In the autumn of 79, Mount Vesuvius violently spewed daily cloud of superheated tephra and gases up to a height of 33 kilometers. Gosh, I can't believe it. Oof. Ejecting molten rock, pulverized pumice, hot ash of 1.5 million tons per second, guys. Ultimately releasing, get this, 100,000 times the thermal energy of the atomic bombs of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that bomb ready. Have you seen those? What's that thing called? Enola Gay, that song, Enola Gay, bomb. 100,000 times. 100,000 times of the two atomic bombs of the two Japanese places, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the thermal energy, 100,000 times. The whole place was liberated. I said, God, why are you telling me to talk about this? And I thought, I know you talk about this. And today, like all Ape, Silas and us, we'll read the newspaper. Do you see today's Sunday Times, the Straits Times? Pompeii, the pictures were in the Straits Times. I was thinking, okay, I need to talk about this. It seems like God is telling me the pictures of that archaeological site in Pompeii. Live section, don't know what page. Archaeological site, and now they're talking about it. In recent years, the vast archaeological site of Pompeii, a city buried alive by the eruption in AD 79, has turned into a high-tech option to maintain its excavated ruins. So a lot of sheep have been introduced there so that, you know, they can eat the and allow the sheep to graze there so that, you know, there's a bit of a balance over that place. And there's some nice pictures. If you have Straits Times, go and look at it. Pretty interesting. I want to go and visit. But what is Pompeii in terms of Michael 1? Michael 1 was Michael prophesizing, right? If you look at Book of Michael 1, it was a judgment against Samaria and Jerusalem. And I just quickly go to you and show you in verse 3. Look, the Lord is coming from his dwelling place. He comes down and treads on the heights of the earth. The mountains melt beneath him and the valleys split apart like wax before the fire, like water rushing down a slope. All this, why? Because of Jacob's transgression. Why? Because of the sins of the people of Israel. What is Jacob's transgression? Is it not Samaria? What is Judah's highest place? Is it not Jerusalem? So what did those people, the Jewish people, do wrong at that time? Idolatry, sins of the people, immorality. Do you see all that there in Joseph 1? And what did God do? Therefore, I will make Samaria a heap of rubble, a place for planting vineyards. I'll pour stones into the valley and lay bare foundations. If you think that how is it possible, Winnie? You read this, maybe this is just all historical and cannot happen. Pompey tells you it's possible. You don't believe, right? I pay for your trip. You go Pompey. It is there for you to see. So this all this is true, you understand? You're not talking about something that is just all talk only and doesn't happen. It happened, and I hope not, but if God's wrath is incurred, can things happen again? That's why you have volcano mountains. I was just in Bali recently. I was just sitting down there in the food. I saw Mount Agung. Isn't the one that about 2 years ago started spewing ash? You never know when it's going to come. And let's talk about this. I'm reminded of Pompeii. Therefore, verse 6, I will make Samaria a heap of rubble, a place for planting vineyards, a pour of stones, lay bare foundations. All her idols, that's the problem, right? Why is the problem? That's the problem in verse 7 tells you, all the idols will steep in idolatry. All the idols will be broken to pieces. All the temple gifts burn with life. I will destroy all her images. What images? Idolatry. So God was cleaning house. Of course, on a site, I can also tell you that there's some suggestion that Pompeii was destroyed in AD 79, all the Romans, right? Because in AD 70, wasn't it the Romans who destroyed the temple of God in AD 70? 7 years ago. But 9 years ago. So, but that's another thing altogether. That AD 70, the Jews, the temples were destroyed. They're holding on to the temples. The Romans came and they massacred all the Jews and they destroyed God's temple. So this is, some people say, God's turn for vengeance. I tell people, vengeance is not ours. Vengeance is God, right? When someone do something wrong to you, Tiffany, no need to take sides. God will help us. Vengeance, don't. And if you're telling me as a lawyer, you take vengeance, what happened? You are the one who ends up in jail, right? Vengeance is from the Lord. I remember I went to Israel, TG's not here, I went to this place called Masada, up there in the mountains. It's really a fort-like place, Masada, if you have a chance to go there. That's where the Jews held their last until the Romans found a place to reach them. When they reached them, and it's true, when they reached them to Masada, up in the mountain, I was there, I saw it for myself. When we reached them to the Masada, all the Jews were, what? They committed suicide. Royston, you know, Masada, brilliant place. Soldiers will know they held as the last bastion, AD 70. So by the time they lost the temple, AD 73, there about that time, the Romans came thinking they were got prisoners, right? All dead. Honor. I'd rather kill myself than be subject to imprisonment and become a POW and that kind of thing. So that's an aside. But I tell you, guys, Pompeii reminds me it's real. The judgment against Samaria and Jerusalem, you can see for yourself. You can't say that it's not, it didn't happen before. Historically, it's a fact. And today's pictures just remind me in Straits Times that it's happened before, it can happen again. Micah 2 swings out and talks about human plans and God's plans. If you go to Micah 2, verse 1, woe to him who plant iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light, they carry it out because it's the power to do so. So Micah was very against what? Idolatry, immorality, injustice. Injustice. So he's talking about injustice here. Woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light, they carry it out because it's their power to do so. It is in their power to do so. I want to suggest to you, power corrupts. When you have power, and someone has power, at whatever level, you're the principal of a childcare center, you're a country manager of a bank, you run a law firm, you are in Clippers, whatever. We all, at different levels, even Leon, although you have some, whatever, you have power over something, like, how do we discharge the power we have? It is within our power to do so because it is in their power to do it. Verse 2, right? But how about we think the way out? If it's within our power to do so, we can correct a lot of things, isn't it? We can correct injustice because it is within our power. If Cindy finds that in this childcare center there's something wrong, it is within her power to do something so that the injustice is obliterated. If, for example, there's some people who are bullied in the school, Owen can say, it's my power to do so, let's do something about it so that we'll protect the weak, we protect the oppressed. That's justice for you. So it is in their power to do so. What did they do? It is in their power to do so. They did the negative. It is in their power to do so. They will corrupt. So power corrupts, but absolute power corrupts absolutely. So I want to warn us, those people in power, and like it or not, can I suggest to you, power doesn't only reside in a CEO, right? Power resides at different levels. But where we are, Are we accountable to God? Are we someone that can God can use to make sure that we don't do something that's displeasing to Him? Next slide. What are your last thoughts at night? Woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil in their beds. Verse 2, verse 1 tells you that the people who are evil, right, what they do? They're plotting evil, they're scheming the night before, and when they wake up, what do? They execute it. So my question for you is this: what are your last thoughts before you sleep? I'm also talking to myself. Are your last thoughts that last Netflix episode 8 of, don't know, some stupid series? It's all gory or something that is R21. I'm not saying cannot watch Netflix, but are your last or your last thoughts your time spent with God, so that when you sleep, isn't that something about the studies that your last thoughts when you sleep is something that you follow through in the morning? But if your last thoughts are Liverpool lost 8-0, then you wake up. Or are your last thoughts something that, you know, is a thought from God, and then when you wake up, then your whole day is premised on what you thought about? Isn't that something we want to learn as a very practical person? What are your last thoughts? The last thoughts were these people plot evil in their heads. At morning, they wake up. What do? All the three P's. They plan the night before. They plan iniquity. All the three P's. They plot evil. And number three, they power up. Pff, execute. Or are you someone that knows about iniquity? You plan to correct it in the night. You plot justice. And then you wake up in the night, in the morning, you power up to administer justice, to right the wrongs. I want to leave that as a thought, even as we talk about the book of Micah. What did they do? They covered fields, they seized them, they defrauded people of their homes, they robbed them of the inheritance. Hey, that was happening 700 BC. Is it still happening today? It's happening today, otherwise got no job. Me. There are people who, that's why you see straight sometimes what? Sister fight with mother, mother fight with whoever, once one patriarch, whatever, then all the people, all the pattern come out, and then they say, you know, when the will was done, Phyllis was not there, Phyllis will say, no lah, I was there, Cindy's the one talking rubbish, hopefully you all don't fight, you all fight amongst anything for your parents, don't come to me because I'll be conflicted. But that's the problem, isn't it? Straight times will always tell people of people who are fighting, they are the people who plot, they defraud people, their homes, they rob them of the inheritance. Therefore, what the Lord says, I'm planning disaster against these people from which you cannot even save yourself. You no longer walk proudly, for it will be a time of calamity. In that day, people ridicule you and so forth. It's a warning to all of us. Actually, I shouldn't be talking about this. If you want to grow the church, we can talk about this for what? People are here, oh, sayang you, you come here, be blessed. But cannot run. It's the word of God. After a while, good news, the gospel of good news doesn't mean that it's the absence of bad news, right? Isn't it? Gospel of good news, but everything is good. No, the gospel of good news is not the absence of bad news, but the gospel of good news in the whole arcing things, there's still hope. And at the end of it, you will find that today, I better end with a hope and the good news, which we find in Micah 2 verses 12 to 13. Next. Do we hear warnings? Do we ignore them? Do we listen to warnings? Jeremiah 6:10, to whom can I speak and give a warning? Who will listen to me? To the prophet Jeremiah. Hey, prophet, very hard on the job. When I tell you something, you don't want to listen. I mean, if I tell you, Brian, you know what? Because of what you've done, right, tomorrow you will lose $300. You hear this kind of thing from me? Don't like? Of course lah. Who will listen to me? Their ears are closed so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. The word of the Lord is administered by the prophet. When you hear it, what happens? You find offense. You cannot take the word because you're already jammed. You're not in a listening mood. So do we hate warnings? Do we ignore warnings? Jeremiah 6:10 is a good starting point. Who? Who will listen to me? Who will listen to me? Who can I speak about the warning? Their ears are closed so they cannot hear. The word of the Lord is offensive to them. I want to talk about it. Actually, a warning is not a bad thing. Actually, if you go to me as a lawyer, if you go to traffic police, let's say Owen don't, but you drive your car and then you bang someone. You bang a dog. But it's your first time, then you tell me, I say, Owen, which is what I do for criminal matter. I say, quickly come to me. We quickly write to the prosecution and say, this is what happened on the day. That day you ate Panadol and that day you're running about and you're a bit stressed and you're not feeling so well. That's why you took a thing in judgment. I'm really sorry I hit the dog. Please forgive me. What would the TP do? They will give you a, hopefully, they'll give you a warning. warning only is good because warning means no criminal record. But if you don't do that, you get no warning. If I charge you, what do? You will be prosecuted. So warning is not a bad thing, isn't it? Warn or what? Warn you means no criminal record. I didn't know I'll be talking about this, but suddenly a thought comes to me. Warning is okay. In legal term, if I warn you, very good, no. Your slate is clean. It's just a warning. A stern warning is administered to you, don't do it again. I went to a J.J. Lin concert. I actually parked at a line that shouldn't have been parked, double yellow line. I said, this guy died already. The J.J. Lin ticket already so expensive, then the stupid yellow bar ticket, Sherwin stopped laughing. And then the yellow ticket, another whatever, I said, well, this is what equals so much. You know. And then the next day, the thing came, they say, in light of the record that you have no record, I give you a warning. Wow, good news. Warning only. You got warning, don't listen. Don't do again, friend. I'm really sorry, guys. I apologize. I parked in a double yellow because I was rushing. But a warning should have its effect so you don't do something. Is that all right? But some people don't want to listen to warning. Next slide. Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer knows how to heed a warning. That is Ecclesiastes 4:13. If you read this, it tells you something. Does it not tell you that the old but foolish king, when he was young and not so foolish, was prepared to listen to warning? You got what I'm saying? Better a poor but wise youth than an old but foolish king who no longer means last time used to hear. And the problem with all us is when we get older, right? Shireen, when we get older, we don't listen to people. Whereas you are young like Brian, no choice, have to listen. Don't even talk about Zachary. When we are young, we have no choice because we are under orders, right? But when we get older, less and less Cheng Hu. Silas got no Cheng Hu in Singapore. Listen to who? There's no one else above him. Where? He go Qatar, then he have. Qatar go there and listen, go and watch football only. But here, there's no one to administer the warning, so the old and foolish king no longer knows how to heed a warning. Don't know how to heed because lost touch. Whereas a poor but wise. Poor, Brian, but wise. You will listen to warning. When someone talks to you, you will listen. I want to leave that as a thought to all of us. Warnings are good. And it's that, therefore, that ability to walk humbly, right? Otherwise, when people talk to us, we don't listen. I'm guilty. I don't like to be warned. I don't like to listen to people very much. So it's always like, okay, you're talking to me. I just go, okay, I have to listen. Come, tell me. Next slide. Be careful as you become more successful. That is my inference from Ecclesiastes 4:13. Because when you get older, old and foolish, no longer. That means last time, used to be able to listen, but cannot listen anymore. I want to suggest that to us as we go down the line. Be careful as you become more successful. Next slide. Human versus God's plans. And that's in fact Micah 2:2 for you. It starts with the header. I don't know which Bible you use, which version. Mine says, human plans and God's plans. There's human plan, there's God's plan, right? You plan evil, but God's plan will supersede. God can turn things around. There's human injustice versus God's justice, right? Humans plan injustice, but God will unravel the injustice. He will do something about it. But watch it. You may incur his wrath. There's human unconcerns. You're not concerned about something. You're not concerned about the orphans, the widows, but God is concerned for them. So actually the best part is, I always tell people, New Year, I'll do resolution. I got no resolution New Year. I always tell people, I was just talking to Joe, I think, I got no, do you still do resolutions? Nothing wrong there, but I'm telling you, I don't do anymore. I said, maybe number one, I'm too old, no longer able to hit warning, but I tell you what, I don't do. I just tell God, I'm very dense. Don't even tell me what my plans are. Just tell me your plan, can? Easier for me. You tell me, I do. Isn't that better? In my response to listening to this, God, no, you tell me, no, God, don't, just tell me what you want. And I try my best. 可以吗? Easier for me. You know, human plan, because my heart is deceitful. I'm conceited, all the seed, deceited, conceited, whatever seed. But God, give me your plans. I give you a blank check. God, what you want, tell me, sign off. Let's do it. To me, I find sometimes it's easier. Next slide. What do we long to hear? prophet of good news, wine and beer. Micah 2:12. If a liar and deceiver comes and says, I will prophesy for you plenty of wine and beer, that will be just the prophet for these people. So these people, God is charging them, accusing them. They want to hear the things they want to hear. You understand? If the person comes and says, I'm a prophet, my name is Daniel Goh, I'm here to prophesy that next year the harvest is very good. You have Merlot, you have Cab Sauv, you have all the best vintage. I prophesy for you plenty of wine and beer. That will be just the thing. That's the guy that you want to hear because your ears are itching. 2 Timothy 4:3. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. What do? Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around a great number of teachers to say what their itchy ears want to hear. Sometimes you just want to hear some things they want to hear. Something you don't want to hear, you don't hear. Like warning, don't hear, right? Shut. What do we long to hear? And 2 Timothy 4:3, I was thinking about it. That's why I say this. It's like a spiritual confirmation bias. You know what's confirmation bias? You already think this way, right? And then you say, I think this thing should be like that. Then Owen come to me over and over. Confirmation bias. Confirm. You just confirm what I thought. But actually, there's already something wrong with my own biasness. You came to confirm. Or are we someone that says, God, in the scheme of the gospel of good news, it does not mean the absence of hard-to-hear truths. It does not mean that we cannot be confronted. Last verse, last slide. But you remain steady in every situation, endure suffering. This 2:4:3, and then you go down the line, 2:4:5. But you, Silas, Dawei, Cindy, Don, you remain steady in every situation. Why? Endure suffering. I always tell people, even if 1 Peter, as believers, do you really think that you won't suffer? Joey, what do you think? When you come and get baptized, do we tell you that you may have to suffer? Do we tell you? If I now tell you to suffer, will you say, oh, need to suffer. I don't want to be Christian. Can I unbaptize myself? You can choose to walk away from God, but I suggest to you, even without God, you may still suffer anyway, right? Correct? Are you telling me that, Shireen, you mean under God must suffer, then better get out, because it doesn't mean that when you get out, there's no suffering. In fact, it may even be worse, but when you suffer in the scheme of God's plans, there's hope. There's God. But you remain steady, all of us remain steady. Listen to the things you don't want to hear. Receive counsel, walk humbly. God, listen to admonition, listen to warnings. Remain steady in restitution, endure suffering. Do the work that a proclaimer of the good news should, and do everything your service to God requires. Everything. That's me. God, you tell me do this, I do. I try my best. I do everything. Leon, very, very tired, worked so hard. Saturday still come in, 3, 4 p.m., do the sound. Some of us don't feel like attending cell group, still go. Some of us need to lead the cell group, prepare the word, lead worship, lead the word. Whatever, we still do because God has called us. Having said that, doesn't mean that we shouldn't do things differently. Maybe, Silas and I was talking about it, in terms of the cell group, maybe we need to do some things. How do we attract people? Asking people to come here sounds like a done deal. Silas and I were talking, are we doing a decent job up here? Owen, what do you think? Am I doing a decent job? I think so. I say, okay, should we? Decent? Maybe more than decent? Fantastic, excellent, no need. More than decent, can. But what do we do apart from service? Do we interact with people so that cell takes a meaning and dynamic? Then people want to go and lives are changed. Are you with me? That's all that I care about. When I go up to God, God, Daniel, have you done this? Do you do this? Yes, I did this. Why? Because I was hoping that I do everything, endure some suffering, do the work that a proclaimer of good news should. I should do this and do everything that you've asked me to do. Anything and everything for the glory of God. Sounds right, quite bad, right? All these things. Next slide. I'm suggesting to us, are you all in? Is it Adidas or don't know what? Are we all in? Don't half-bake. You either do something properly. If not, don't do. Are you all in? Are you saying, God, in my limited time on earth. Weaknesses. Really, guys, our time is limited. Sim Hong Woo, is it? Did he know he was going to die 2 nights ago? In fact, I thought I read something to say that he was just talking to someone before the night before to say the next night, the next day I'm going to do this. Gone. What warning? Warning. No warning. I got another lawyer who almost lost his life. Thankfully, he survived. No warning. Happened to just check for something and then they check and then the doctor say, I think you better check this again. Then found out. Don't know how many blocked, 80%, 100%. Then now the blast. Not the sound blaster from Creative, but you have to blast. Or do we say, God, my time is in your hands. I'm all in. Next slide. The good news. You see, that's why God is a God of hope. Can I tell you a secret? God is a softie. He may spew volcano, Mount Pompeii, allow it. God wants a Mount Pompeii will happen, guys. Right? One word is done. Your dog get frozen, your oven do halfway, do burden, whatever you eat halfway, stop, and then you're also frozen. But he always, despite all the things that we do, all the degradation, suddenly there's a turn in Micah 2:12. I will surely gather all of you, Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. I'll bring them together like a sheep in a pen, like a flock in its pastures. The place will throng with people. Listen, verse 13, who is this guy? The one who breaks open the way will go up before them. They will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them, the Lord at their head. I mean, if our God, Sherwin, you thick scout fella, tell you all, don't idol worship, don't do this, don't be immoral, don't be this, when it's still this nonsense, I would have given out, I said, destroy all of you, right? But despite all that, he comes and his promise. A sudden switch in verse 12. This is God's promise. The one who breaks open the way will go up before them. Listen, many years I was in Bali riding a horse. When you're riding, right, you know, when you ride a horse or whatever, when you go out, the horse actually them sian one, you know, because the horse knows, right, have to zhou gang, right? Because I'm riding on this, so tick tock tock. So you hit the fella don't want to run, you know, it's like pulling something, the fella slowly take his own time. Then you go around, and the horse will, can't speak, I'll say, walao, this route again, then you go to this route, whatever. But when you are about to reach the end, the horse, not the dog, the horse also knows it's going to reach the end. You know what I'm saying? When the horse knows reach the end, the last part, you know what the horse did? The horse galloped, you know. You know why? Why? It's going home. And the fellow can smell and know it's home. Wow, the clock, suddenly, so I was also panicking. Shit, why go so fast? The fellow was going to go home. The horse went ahead of itself. Not the best analogy, but are you with me? When we go home with the king, the king goes before us. The king will pass through before them, the Lord at the head. That horse was in front of me, going very fast. Reached back, oh my goodness, the backside ache. Because at the last part, when he's galloping, it was on road, it's not grass. It's not dum dum, it's not tick-tock, tick-tock. And then the fellow poke every time, poke one, whole back ache, man. Old man some more. But the Lord himself, the one who breaks open the way, isn't that a good prophecy? 100% will happen, guys. This is a prophet. It's not a premonition. It's not just a, it will happen. The one who breaks open the way, they will break through the gate and go out. Their king will pass through before them. The Lord will be at our head. I hope this is a good start to the Micah series. He is a God of hope, abundant hope. So I love it. When Silas and I talk, with iron sharpened iron, we don't like, oh, I'm going to die, We know the challenges. We know that we have no, we know the weaknesses and the strength of whatever we do, we still carry on, right? Because we have hope in God. We'll do what we need until all of us see Him face to face in the days to come. I want us to just come before the Lord as you hear this message and ask the musicians to come up, even as we prepare to worship the Lord. Silas, Shireen, and Esther. As you hear this word, may the Lord begin to speak to you. The warnings administered to us. Are we in idolatry? Are we steeped in idolatry? Do we worship God? Or have other things overtaken us? Is there immorality? Are there things that are not right with God? Do we overindulge ourselves? Is there injustice? Are we doing things to injure each other? That's the worst, isn't it? Injuring each other. Immorality is you and whatever, but injustice, injuring each other as we come before the Lord. Can I ask you to stand?
Let's look to the Lord right now. Let's align our hearts to His. The Holy Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit wants to speak to us and connect us with our Father in heaven. Let's worship the Lord. I think in our own ways, I just want to encourage us to chat with the Lord. As we hear the word earlier on, commit all those thoughts to the Lord. Us to walk humbly with you even as we start off this year. May we lean our understanding on you and not on ourselves. May we look towards you for wisdom and understanding so that, Lord Father, we may act justly, love mercy and kindness. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord with this song.
Almighty reigns. Hallelujah.
encourage us to even as we take this time, as we take this time to think about the words that was just shared by Pastor Daniel. That our hearts be recommit our hearts again to worship the Lord, to exalt the Lord, even for the start of this year. Father, we want to thank you again, and Lord, let our hearts be full of all of you, full of all for who you are, you who do great wonders, you who lead the Israelites out of Egypt, you who deliver us always. Continue to worship you all the days of our
you, in spite of our weaknesses, our backgrounds, and our inhibitions, to eradicate idolatry, immorality, injustice, so that our life will be one that's coming from you. Somebody, you don't look at anybody else, not even your wife, your husband, you as a person, as a child of God. If that's your desire, that you say to the Lord, Lord, I may be weak, but in my weakness, you're strong. I'm all in. Will you just raise your hands before the Lord and we end this service? Father, thank you. Father, thank you that your people, those who respond to you, are all in. Lord, because they're all in, use them for your glory. Use them so that, Lord, the things that they do will bring glory to your name. So, Father, I pray that, Lord, your new anointing come upon my brother and sister this year, 2023. That, Lord, despite what appears to be maybe dark clouds or in the economic horizon and what have you, Lord, you protect them physically. You will empower them spiritually. You will speak to them so that, Lord, the word of God will be so precious to them, so that every night before they lay down and retire, it is that thought that comes from you, so that in the morning when they wake up, they will start the day right before you. So the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord's face shine upon you. Be that marketplace person that will make a difference for God's kingdom. We pray all this through the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. See you next week.